What is happening, everyone? Here with Ryan Fairchalk, man. Underground Painting. Nice to meet you, brother. First time of me and you connecting for the business breakthrough. I'm with it, though. Reached out, just wanting to, I guess the overarching thing is kind of losing some bids. You're getting some objections more often than not. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So I started this part time and it accidentally took off, and I quit my full time job in August. And when I was booked out 3 months at a time. So like 2 to 3 months, I was very comfortable, but now it's like 3 to 4 weeks. It makes you kind of nervous. And I don't think I'm bidding any more than I was before, but it seems like the market is getting more. There's more competition out there. People are getting hungry. So everyone else seems to be just underbidding to get work. Does that make sense?
Sure. It does.
Yeah. That's just what I'm finding.
Sure. Big topic, man. I guess I want to kind of first identify some areas of your business. Just maybe I get an idea of like how you're operating production wise. Is it just you or do you have a team? Who's doing the actual painting?
It's me and my brother. We're both painting. I don't tend to have enough for both of us to always be busy. So he helps me whenever I need him, when I can use him.
Okay.
I have. And
when you first started the people,
sorry. I have other people reaching out to me that want to work for me, but they're not the type of people I'd like to have working for me.
Okay.
They have felonies and stuff like that. And
sure.
I don't think it'd be good for my image.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you gotta build the culture that fits what, you know, what's best for what you're selling. I mean, you are selling this production here. When it comes to the jobs that you first got, when you decided to quit your, you know, to quit your full-time job, tell me about that, man. Like, were those word of mouth? Were those, you know, where did those originally generate? Where'd you generate that business?
Most of my business is word of mouth. I would say 80-90% is word of mouth. Some of it's from Facebook, but yeah, that's
what'd
all I got.
What'd you do before this?
I drove for Pepsi for 16 years.
Wow. Okay. Corporate coming into the painting business. God,
yes.
Love it.
I can't go back to it at this point.
You can't go back, but you know, you probably learn some things that are going to help you, you know, in terms of structure.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
that's you can't erase that good, those good habits. You know what top down looks like. So the advice I want to give you kind of really stems from just your awareness of like, you know, let me, in your words, like, what do you feel like you need to do? Cause I can give you advice, but I want to see where your head's at. And maybe I can help guide you in a different direction or affirm what you know you need to do. What are some things that you're already thinking? Hey, if you didn't talk to me today, like, what would your next move be?
Trying to be more presentable. I'm trying to look as professional as possible.
Okay.
I find that when I go to an estimate and I'm like just done working and I'm stopping there on the way home, looking all messy, I tend to not get the estimate.
Interesting.
As if I show up dressed in jeans and my hoodie, clean clothes, sneakers. Yeah. That seems to be.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
Do you feel like you're getting enough opportunities? Because here's the thing, this is one thing that kind of can, and I like that you have the awareness of like, maybe there's a sales process issue here, which you're kind of alluding to. Usually word of mouth customers, which is generally what you're dealing with, right? People that usually at this point ask you for an estimate have gotten you from a referral, a friend, or someone that knows you at this point still. Is that true?
Yeah.
Right. So generally the closing ratio on those are pretty high. So we have maybe a process issue here, but or do you feel like you're getting enough opportunities? Because I've been doing this long enough to know that like it is a game of law of averages, right? Like you gotta get a lot of opportunities to close a lot of jobs. So how many estimates do you feel like you're doing a week?
It comes in waves. Like
no predictability, kind of like
no,
just
yeah. It's like say there's nothing for 2 weeks, and then I'll get like 5 inquiries.
Yeah,
it's
which
like
is nice.
I'll have 5 or 6 estimates in a weekend, and then nothing for another
So the goal of this business, you know, Ryan, to be honest with you, is to establish predictability in each area, right? You have four areas of business that are the big areas, and then you can branch those out. But we need some sort of predictability now in marketing. You know this, I'm sure, but maybe you don't have a direction. Have you done anything in terms of paying for leads, advertising, Google? What do those avenues look like?
I haven't done any of that.
Okay. Which one do you feel like you would be most comfortable pursuing, or would you like my advice?
I'll take your advice.
Okay. So
that's why I'm here.
Yeah. Cool, brother. So there's two big ones that I'm thinking of right off the bat, right? The first one is a passive strategy, which is going to reward you in a year or two from now. Okay. That's the one that we're planting seeds. We got to water those seeds. Eventually it'll produce harvest. That's your Google My Business profile. That's that SEO. That's that thing that when people go on Google to look for a painting contractor, we want your name there. Do you have a Google listing right now?
I don't.
Okay. After this call, that's going to be one of the best moves that you make just for future business, right? Because you just told me you're not going back, and I don't want you to go back.
I can't work for anybody else ever again.
You can't, right? It's very difficult to do. It's like winning the lottery and then going broke again, right?
Especially corporate, bro.
And I'm with you. I came from a corporate, I know it, right? So my thought for you right now is we need that SEO because we're going to be in business for a while. That's one of those things that you just do because you know you're going to be in business for a while. We need every customer that you do a job for to leave you a review. Do you feel like that's happening right now?
No, it's definitely not.
Okay. I'm going to give you an analogy to help you really solidify how important this is. Do you ever go out to eat? If you went to a restaurant and there was no one in there, you and your significant other or someone you care about, and you walk in the door and there was just a host and no one was in there, the restaurant was barren, would you feel weird?
Depending on what time of the day is, yeah, it's a red flag.
What if it was Saturday night, 7 o'clock?
Yeah, no.
You'd feel weird. Why? Because we count on social proof to help us make better decisions, right? We leverage other people's experiences with businesses to make better decision making because everything's risky, right? And things are getting more and more risky as consumers because things are happening so fast. So we have to make quicker decisions. So here's the deal. When you get a customer that does business with you, even though they got your name from someone, that's not enough anymore. They need that comfort of going to that Google listing and seeing reviews, seeing that Facebook, seeing that social proof. That helps. We'll talk about sales processes in a minute. Do you feel like you could have gotten reviews from customers but failed to do so because maybe you didn't have a strategy to get those reviews?
Absolutely, I could.
Cool. Best strategy right here. Okay. First, we need a place for them to go. That's number one. We got to have if you do anything, just get the reviews on Google, right? That's it. Like if there's one place you send people to do reviews, it's going to be Google. That's number one. Number two is you have to make it easy. People don't do things, even if they owe you a review, if it's hard, right? Like you and I are consumers. People want a review. I need a link, dude. Like I'm not going to go back and find it. You know what I'm saying? So we got to make it easy. You need to send that link. And you need to ask. And that needs to be like something that you do as a painter is like, listen, you probably go over and above. Would you say that you do in the house?
Yeah, absolutely.
Light bulb. Hey, can you do this? Can you change out the batteries?
Absolutely, I would. Yeah.
So people understand that that's extra, right? So from the perspective of, hey, listen, I really appreciated working with you. The only thing that I would ask for you outside of a payment is if you could go on Google and leave a 5-star review for me. You have to understand that that question right there puts it at about a 90% chance that you're going to get the review, right? And then send the link. And then that's it. And you're going to start getting reviews. You have got to do this for the future of your company. This isn't going to yield an instant return, dude. This is like you saying, hey, I'm going to be in business for years. I need these reviews now, every single job. And if you don't get a review, you should be curious as to why. Although, yes, we could talk sales process. We need to get some of these foundational things in place. Second thing is leads, dude. first of all, I know this. When you get those five phone calls throughout the week that you said sometimes happens, you're probably getting random jobs. Sometimes it's a bathroom. Sometimes it's a living room. Sometimes it's a full house. Sometimes it's not even painting related. Is that true?
Pressure washing, maybe, yeah.
Popcorn removal, pressure washing, drywall, like these accessory painting things. Is that, would you say that's more accurate?
Yes.
Right. So what that does is it causes inconsistency in your sales process. So in other words, let's think of this scenario, Ryan, in terms of getting better at sales. If every day you had an interior full house repaint estimate, one day of the week, each day. So Monday you had one, Tuesday you had one, Wednesday you had one, Thursday you had one, and Friday you had one. By Friday, you would be way better than you would be on Monday. It's the same type of estimate. The customer has the same questions, but you're going to pick up things that these customers are going to ask that are all the same. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Right. So what's happening is that because the different job types are so sporadic and because the estimates are so sporadic, your feedback loop of what you're doing in that house is so far away that each time it's like you're hitting the reset button on your sales process. Because that's the way it works. People buy from you because they trust you, they like you, and the value that you are offering them in relation to their specific product that they want done for you, the job that they want, they feel like they're getting the better end of the deal. Now, I'm going to ask you to take me through the sales process. You and I are customer and contractor. You knock on my door, okay? I submitted a request to you. My first thought is, I want to know, how did I get that request to you, Ryan? Did I call you? Do I email you? Do I text you? What does that look like? What do most customers do?
Actually, there isn't anything specific. All the above you just mentioned. Usually, I would say more than anything, it's a text.
Okay, so text. Hey, Ryan, I'd like an estimate. Okay. Now, from that point, once they text you, hey, Ryan, I'd like an estimate, do you pick up the phone and call them, or do you go, because you're busy, maybe you just text them back?
I'll text them back.
Principle number one, everything matters. And remember this in business, everything matters. Every interaction matters, okay? What that interaction was could be the difference in your sales process because people buy from you to the degree of which they perceive you. Okay. So if you're just having a shotgun text conversation out of the pocket, right off the bat, they're not wowed. And you and I can, you have to be honest and say that that's probably true.
I see where you're going.
You see? So it's sometimes it's not what you do in the house. You're saying, hey, I'm showing up to the house. I'm in my painter's whites. I'm sweaty. You know, okay. That could be a pass, but if that's the fourth thing that they saw that indicated to them that you're not operating on all cylinders, they might go elsewhere. If that's the only thing, that probably puts you in the game. So where I'm getting at, I want to highlight how our process works as a painting company, maybe so you can see the gaps, right? So someone calls us, I have someone in the office that answers right away. They get a greeting, a professional greeting. Thank you for calling Premium Painting. This is Teresa. How can I help you? We're already building a relationship on the phone, and that's the goal. From that point, we send them a link to fill out a form. That's another step of professionalism where they get a form, they fill out all the information. It's organized, it's easy. They can tell us about their project, they can submit photos, right? From that point, once they fill out the form, they get a text message and an email confirmation. Then we book the appointment right on the app. It sends them a date, time, and location of the appointment. Then they get reminders. Then they get another email that tells them our story as a company. Then when someone shows up, they already feel like they know us. So there was a lot of work, Ryan, that had to be done. So when we show up, half of the sale is already done. When you knock on the door, you're trying to get them to know who you are. We already did that. So now we're just focusing on them. This is the difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm following you.
What questions do you ask when you get in the home? Me and you are working together. I'm the customer. You're the contractor. When you knock on the door, tell me how you would approach it.
Well, I say, hello, my name's Ryan. I'm here to do a painting estimate. Hopefully I'm at the right house. Shake their hand, of course, as soon as you walk in.
Like that. Okay.
I have gone to the wrong house. I almost always take my shoes off. just to show okay. respect that I care about their
love that
their stuff and their cleanliness. And then we try to jump into it.
Okay.
What area you've done? What do you have in mind? What colors?
Okay.
Your time frame.
So, yep. And this is exactly the direction I thought you would be in. And this is what I want to help you with is you're so focused on the what, you're missing the why, right? The what makes you comparable, right? What colors? What do you want done, right? Those two things. You and I can both do an estimate. And if all me and you both focus on are the what's, then guess what the customer's going to focus on? What is the price? Does that make sense?
Mm.
If all you're asking is what, so are they, you know, right? That's it. We want them to ask why. The big question you really want your customers to ask is why should I pay more money for Ryan Fairchalk? That's the question, dude. And if you can get people to answer that question themselves based on the things that your company does and that you do on a consistent basis, you will have enough money to free yourself from the actual day-to-day labor that you're doing now and enough to pay other people to do it for you so you can actually grow your business. Until you nail that down, you are going to continue to be spinning around wondering why there's too much month at the end of the money. That's what's happening because business is expensive. There's a lot of things that are coming out right now. So you need to start asking why. And this might sound silly at first, but me and you are going to go through a dialogue. You're going to be my customer. I'm going to help you with this. Knock, knock. Ryan, nice to meet you. I'm going to steal your line. I like it. I hope I'm at the right house. That made me laugh.
I never actually say that, but
it sounds good. Start using it, right? It shows your personality. Okay. It's good, right?
Yeah.
Would you like me to take my shoes off? Okay, great. You know, hey, here's my card. I like to give a card as soon as I walk into the, like, in that interaction. Gives them something tangible. Everyone looks right at it to see how professional our card is. It has my name on it. It has our company logo. This helps, right? Really, I like it because I know that once I hand you a card, or I like to actually hand a brochure. It's like, okay, this is different. I just want to be different each step of the way. Everything that I do in my sales process, I just want to be a little bit different to help them make an educated decision and to help them justify paying more for us. We will be more expensive, but we got to earn
it. I like that brochure idea.
What's that?
I like that brochure idea.
Yeah, the brochure. Spend a little time on Canva. Make yourself a nice brochure for your company. Get 50 of them printed. And instead of a freaking business card, give a brochure that tells way more of the story. You give a business card to a colleague. You should give a brochure to a customer. So when I'm in there, the first question I have before we do anything is, why am I here? And I don't ask it like that. I just say, like, what's the story? It's a great way to lead into that. So what's the story? Why did you call us out today? Or why did you call me? And then they start unloading everything that relates to the thought process behind why they wanted the paint job rather than what they want done. So if I go to you, Ryan, and say, all right, well, what do you want done? What do you think they're going to say? I want the inside of my house done. I know that. But how did we arrive here? Because I can't build value that differentiates myself from the competition if all I'm focusing on is this paint job. There's 10 paint companies waiting probably to give you an estimate. I need to be different. So let me give you some why reasons that I've heard that help give me leverage, right? We're moving, right? Have you ever heard that? I'm moving, okay? That's a why reason, right? That's not a what, I'm moving. So let me ask you, if I was the customer, Ryan, I said, Ryan, I'm moving. What value would you give me based on that information? And if you don't know, I'm coming to save you. It's okay. So here's the deal. You need to understand if you were the customer and you hired a painting company and you were moving, what would be valuable to you?
A high-end job. So I can get the most money out of my house when I sell it.
You might think that, but in most cases, people want a decent job and they want it done fast. Across the board, right? You might get that one guy that'll spend a bunch of money on a paint job he won't get to enjoy. You get most of them that just want to get it freshened up to sell it. That's my experience, right? So if we know that that's their motivator, right? They don't value the paint job as much as someone who's moving in, right? Someone who's moving in, Ryan, wants quality. Yeah. They want that. They're going to enjoy it, right? They're going to spend that money because they're going to enjoy that. They want the process. Someone is moving out to sell it. They care about speed first. Now, I'm not saying they don't care about quality. They just don't value it in the same order as someone who's moving in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So from your perspective, Ryan, instead of talking about the paint job, you need to be talking about schedule and speed, right? Because you recognize this guy's moving. Okay, great. When are you planning on moving? That's the next question, because the why question should lead you to the next question. Oh, I'm getting ready to sell it. Oh, okay. When are you guys planning on moving out? Now, if you know that and they say, well, I'm really planning on moving out in 3 weeks, so we need to get some things in order and really hoping to have it done. What should you say now that you know that they're moving out in 3 weeks, Ryan? You should know your schedule. Because if you can't get it done in 3 weeks, you're already disqualified, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you can, now your price becomes secondary, because the timing is what's most important to the customer. And you say, oh, 3 weeks, perfect. Yeah. I have to check my schedule, but I'll be honest, I think we have a spot, if everything lines up, to fit you in within 3 weeks and we can get this ready for the sale. That's salesmanship, right? Because ultimately what you're doing is you're just helping them arrive to their destination. Every one of your customers has a destination, Ryan. You need to decipher which customer you're talking to. Hopefully this is opening up some doors, because some conversations that aren't being had are the keys that are going to unlock your sales, right? So if someone says, oh, we want to freshen up the house, it's just been years, we've never painted it before, right? I want to challenge you a little bit. How do you feel like you could offer value to that person? They've been in the house for 20 years. They want to freshen it up. How can you offer value to someone like that, aside from the fact that you bring painting equipment and slap color on the wall?
Right. I'll tell you how I start out. I try to build some sort of personal connection.
Good.
With the person. Not quite the same path you take. Dogs are great when people see that you love their dogs.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I try to relate to them.
Yeah.
And their situation. And I also find a name drop, like, oh, you know so and so who lives right up the street.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm friends with them. Then you'd be like, they'll go check with them. Hey, what's this guy like? So, I mean, as far as how can I add value, I don't know how to answer that.
Okay. So think about it from the project perspective, because all those things, remember, that you just mentioned, these are, I'm speeding this up, but you're doing this throughout the process. But imagine not only doing that, but then being dialed in and being the perfect fit for their project, right? Because you might be the perfect fit in terms of person, but we need to be the perfect fit for the project. And I don't want you to think of anything that we build here in your sales process as something that is for Ryan Fairchalk. This is for the business, to the point where in 2-3 years from now, you have a salesperson and you're handing them this system and this strategy. When you build a business, you need to be building it with the mindset that you're going to sell it one day, right? So we need to develop a sales strategy in your business that could be done by Ryan. It could be done by Sam, Steve, Nick, and Joe. It doesn't matter who comes in. We need to have a strategy. And it starts with our questions that we ask in relation to the project, but more so to the customer. So I told you, hey, this customer is moving, or they live in the house. They want to freshen it up. It's been 20 years, right? The house is obviously, they need a fresh start. So something that I do for these customers, which by the way, I light up when I hear these customers, because they value us. They want the team. They want the process. They want the communication. They want the experience. One of the things that I say is, have you chosen colors yet? Right? It's a good question. No, we haven't. We have no clue. Well, Ryan, I'm sure maybe you being in business up until this point, you start offering suggestions, right? Generally?
I don't actually. Okay. What I do offer, and it seems to help out a lot, I just give them my color fan.
Okay. That confuses people. They focus too much on the color fan. Every time you hand,
I'll say, I have a color fan in my van. Before I leave, I'll let you have it. You can borrow it. And I almost always get those jobs. Actually, I would say I do always get them because they got to give it back to me. One time it got thrown away, but
and those things are expensive too.
but I got that job anyways.
I would say this. Okay, so in other words, at the core of it, you're saying, here, I'm going to give you, now that you're indecisive about colors, I'm going to give you 10,000 choices, and you hand them that thing, right? So it's that's not white glove, right? And that's how you should be thinking, is how can I create even more value? Because again, you and I could both do that. I can give them, well, me and you could do the same estimate. We both can give that, right? Take it up a notch. You should connect with a local decorator and do free color consultations. We're talking about jobs that are thousands of dollars. Paying $100 to a color consult to go over there and eliminate the anxiety that a customer might have. Now, you might say, well, Tanner, I'm not getting the jobs that I want. I would argue that maybe some people are still indecisive about colors. That happens. I've been doing this long enough to know that there's people that will not hire us until they pick a color. And they freak out about it. They don't want to make the bad choice, right? So generally, I'll say, well, because you haven't had anything done, let's get some new colors in here. I can send over our decorator if you hire us, and she'll sit with you and she'll narrow down the colors and make it easy for you to select, you know, whatever you want. People light up about that, right? Because that's a white glove service. So there's a couple avenues, but really my goal for this was just to show you, like, dude, start with that why question and then try to find ways to build value around that, because that's what matters in residential business. In commercial business, it doesn't matter. People care about the budget, but residential, it's emotional. That's where I'm getting at with that. Was that kind of helpful?
Yeah, I get it.
What about marketing, man? We talked about that. I mean, do you have a plan for that? I mean, aside from, you know, this word of mouth stuff won't last. So it's either you get on.
I'm on Facebook. I have a pretty decent Facebook page. I know it's kind of generic, but compared to what I've seen from other guys, I'm not that great at speaking. I am really good at putting stuff in words on paper.
Okay.
I can communicate very well through writing. Not specifically texting, but I mean just...
Yeah.
It's one skill that I have. But
do you besides script, that, do you I don't... Script, have, what software are you using?
Sherwin-Williams.
Okay. So if that's the case, just so you know, drip jobs would be great for you because you can write out all of the drips if you really like to write and convey your message to your customers in a unique way, you know, automatically, right? You write it one time. Like, for example, like you said that you like to write. So you, how many estimates did you give last week to people?
Say three or four, maybe.
Okay. How many of them closed, sold?
None of them yet.
None. All right. So last week, we're talking about
since November, things have gotten really weird since November.
Have you been following up with these people?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, I'll text. They don't respond. I call them. They don't answer.
Okay. So what drip jobs would do is that instead of you texting, it's an automatic text message that goes out every few days, or email that goes out every few days. And in that email could be whatever you want to write to convey your message to that customer instead of relying on a phone or a manual text message. So whatever you're trying to convey about how great of a job you're going to do and how much you care about them can be done one time for each customer to create consistency in that follow-up process. Because there's money in the follow-up, you know that. But I personally wouldn't give up at this stage if I were you until they answer that phone, dude. You spent the time, you went over there, you gave them your time, energy, and effort, keep calling. Be annoying until they tell you no.
That was my concern right there, is being annoying. So like with the automatic drip jobs emails going out, does anyone ever say, can you please stop?
They can unsubscribe from it. There's a button to unsubscribe. They can unsubscribe. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, very rarely. And no one really ever responds like, this is too much communication. It's because drip jobs organizes the customer, the communication relates to them. So in other words, like because you send a proposal through drip jobs, it goes to that stage and then they get follow-ups relating to the proposal. So it's not like they're like, this is irrelevant to me, stop sending this to me. It's just like, some of them are like, hey, have you decided yet? Like, just let us know. Now, if they let you know and you don't take action in there and like stop the follow-ups from happening, then yeah, people get upset because they've told you already that they're not moving forward, right? So, but there's ways around that. But yeah, generally, man, it's most of the, I wouldn't assume that people who don't answer don't want to work with you or they hired someone else. Like, that is not a good assumption to have. I also believe that because you're, and I'm just trying to help, like, because your perspective is that either people are cheap or there's not enough work to go around or other contractors are undercutting you. The reality situation is you do not have enough of a sample pool to even make that assessment because your market as a painting contractor is so big that there's no way the demand is met at all. Because not only can people paint the inside, they can paint the outside, they can paint cabinets, commercial and industrial. There's so much to go around, dude. It's just you need to get in front of enough people and you need to pay for those people. You need to get comfortable. You have a great Facebook page, but Facebook isn't going to show anyone those posts because you're not paying them. You don't get much engagement on them because Facebook buries it. I don't want to leave you without a strategy, man, but I would say, have you heard of Angie Leads?
I have, yes.
What are your thoughts about them?
I haven't heard good things.
Who'd you hear it from?
Other, well, people in that painting contractors page. And I think my father-in-law uses it.
Okay. Or
he doesn't use it, but he's talked about it.
Yeah. What is your goal with your company? You know, before we go, I'm just curious.
Part of my, I'd love to be more hands-off, but I have issues trusting people. My wife has a very successful business. The name is Massage by Leanne. She's booked out for months. She doesn't take new clients. And in 2020, she expanded, took on employees, and she could only hire licensed therapists. So her selection of people to hire is very limited. And she hired a bunch of friends and some non-friends. And it was so difficult to get people to be reliable. Seeing her struggle with that, like not sleeping at night, is so-and-so going to show up tomorrow? In my head, I'm terrified of expanding, having people to count on, and that happening to me. Finding reliable people with good work seems to be very difficult because the good ones don't want to leave where they're at.
I would be careful with the generalizations. I mean, you have to talk to people that have successful employees. I have 13 great employees that show up every day. I don't even have to check the timesheets. They run three, I have three jobs running every single day and over 500 five-star reviews. I don't even meet my customers. You need to talk to people that are winning because there's a strategy in place. No one is just good at hiring. It is a strategy and a system that creates great results. It's all down to the hiring process. And in the example of your wife's business, I would say that the first thing I would do if I were in consulting and she came to me with that problem, I'd say, take me through the hiring process. How did you vet these individuals? That would be my first question.
I took a class with Inspired by You.
Okay.
And I'm sure you know Corey, right?
Yeah.
She has built a great system she's got going on. And all of her employees seem to flock to her. She doesn't have to search with people. They just call her and they're like, I want to work for you. And like the environment she has built there, she's like 15 minutes from me, is like, it's for my class. I was the only one there because everyone else canceled because it was like January 5th.
Right.
And so it was just me and all of her employees in there. She invited me in for her leadership meeting on Friday morning. And like the environment is like, it's like an actual team.
Right. So she's done it. It's possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wouldn't make the generalization. Here's the thing, but I'm sure if you got to talking with Corey, she would tell you sometimes that it's stressful and sometimes that, you know, but the thing is she's in a momentum swing where that because she's built such a core group of individuals that have such a high standard, everyone that she brings in either has to rise to that standard or they're going to fall out. And the team holds that person accountable. Right now, the pressure's on you for these first few hires because you're the only one. But soon, if you get an A player and another A player and they start working together and then you hire someone, guess what those A players are going to tell you? Ryan, this guy isn't what we thought he was. We need to talk about letting him go. And you're going to have help with that. You're not going to wear and bear the burden of that by yourself like your wife's doing. It sounds like because that's a one-to-one business. Generally speaking, two or three people don't give one person a massage. It's just a one-to-one business. When you work in the painting industry, it's a team. So there's a different dynamic. I will also tell you, Ryan, that the most difficult, risky decision that you've ever made was probably quitting Pepsi. I would say that career-wise, that on a scale of 1 to 10, brother, that was level 10, right? So anything that you do in this business, bro, trust me, anything that you do in this business is nowhere near as risky under the umbrella of this new business that you did when you quit Pepsi. But what you should do is you should ride the momentum of that. You got to understand, man, hiring is not an option. This isn't optional. This isn't like, should I or should I not? It's if you don't, you'll fail. And I don't mean failure in terms of you'll go out of business. I personally feel like not you, but your situation is a failure in business. And I'm not being disrespectful. I hope you don't take it that way. I'm just letting you know from the perspective of if I were to buy or invest in what you got going on, I would not be able to because your business is 100% reliable on things that you have no control over, which is word of mouth. Your marketing has no system. Your sales process isn't dialed in. You have no hiring process right now. And these are the things that you need to take control of if you want to get to a point where you actually feel and take on and enjoy the fruits of owning a business, which you set out to do the first place. You're probably working more now than you did at Pepsi.
No, definitely not.
It's because you don't have enough work.
Sorry. I worked so much at Pepsi.
Okay, well, Pepsi. Okay, then that's bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. That was a bad thing then, because Pepsi overworked you. But generally speaking, if you come from a corporate job, like owning a business, but maybe the mental strain. And again, I don't know. Maybe Pepsi held you to a different standard, but just the mental strain of owning a business and the stress levels are a little bit higher because you've got to create the money. You got to pull it out of thin air. Pepsi has it in the bank. They just got to give it to you, right? That's a different type of mindset when you wake up in the morning, right? Right. We need a marketing strategy. You need to get leads. Okay. That's number one. If you do not start buying leads or spending money on marketing, you won't win. You will not win. You'll be struggling for a long time. I see. Are you doing cabinets or no?
No, I'm kind of scared too. I have an image of what I want the finished product to look like. And if it doesn't look like that for the customer when I'm done, then I feel like I've failed them.
Okay. Dude, you're such a good guy and you're going to have a great business if you just... I need you to change your mindset and stop generalizing things unless you have enough sample data and proof. If you say that people aren't good and they can't be trusted, that's based off of your wife's experience, not the experience that you've had as a painting business owner that has taken at least 15 people through a structured hiring process. And at that point, I believe that me and you should talk because I would say that your decision-making when it comes to who you bring in needs to be adjusted. But I don't think that'll be the case. I think that if you put out a good ad on Indeed and you do a phone interview and you do an in-person interview and you do a working interview and you finally land on someone that sticks with you through those channels and you guys start to have good conversations about quality, growth, standard, you will have a teammate and it'll inspire you to get another one. And in the same breath with marketing, we can't rely on word of mouth anymore if you want to have a business that you can live off of. Which is get on Angie Leads, start buying some leads, get a great software. You know I'm going to offer you 60 days for free. I'd love for you to try Drip Jobs so you can actually feel like you can get a bird's eye view of your business. You're going to win some extra jobs just from the follow-ups alone. I know that for a fact. So I'll give you that. But I'd like to see maybe get some Facebook ads out. I don't know if it's in the budget. I don't know if you have savings. I don't need to know that. But if you want to win, it's all about the speed of which you do things in business. This is a different game. You know, if you make $1 million in 15 years in sales, would you consider that success?
I guess. I don't think that sounds like a whole lot, to be honest.
Well, it's not. So if it was $1 million and we divided that by 15, that's $66,000 a year. Do you think it's worth it for you to own a business and only make, and that's sales. So you'll probably gross 35,000 or net 35,000. Right. Do you feel right? That's not successful. That's a waste of time. So it's still $1 million, Ryan, but it was in 15 years. How can we shorten that down to 1 year? That should be the focus, the speed of which you do things, the speed of which you take risks, the speed of which you, you know, pull the trigger in uncertainty. Number one would be hire the marketing agency, get someone to run your ads for you. That's number one. Number two, you got to be comfortable with hiring. And until you get comfortable with hiring, you're not going to hire. So you might get the leads, you might get the jobs, you might do the marketing. And guess what happens? You're the one who's going to have to do all the jobs, you and your brother or one other person. You're going to hit a roadblock either way, unless you do both at the same time.
Yeah.
Still not as risky as quitting Pepsi though. How long did you debate that decision? I just want to know.
Probably a year.
A year back and forth. Yeah. Now, knowing what you know now, would you have done it sooner? If you could have seen what you've accomplished after quitting, would you have done it sooner? Yes or no?
I'm happy with my timing.
So it was good timing. It gave you enough time.
Because as I was doing this part-time, I was building my reputation and all that stuff. And I'm not upset about my time at Pepsi because I learned so much on the side of business. I wasn't just a driver. I had probably 5 or 6 different positions there. So I've learned, like, they have sales tactics also. I just wasn't good at the way they wanted me to do it all. But I was good at selling. I was a salesman, and I would have to sell stuff to a manager, like a new Mountain Dew display, into a store. Some of them are given to you. You have to have them by contract. But other ones, you have to sell them into the store. And I could sell to a manager that knew me, but I could not walk into a store that I didn't know the manager. I could not pull that off. Does that make sense? If I had a relationship, with someone that trusted me and knew the way I am, that was no problem. But someone brand new that's never met me, they don't even want to talk to me. You know, they're just another guy trying to sell me something.
Right. Do you have any coaching going on aside from this meeting right here?
No.
Okay. So there's three things that I think every painting business owner needs to be successful. You need a coach. You need a coach. You need to be a part of a community of people. That's a given. That's number one. Number two is a great software. You could say that number one and number two are interchangeable. And number three is a marketing agency. And what you've done is that you've just packaged together through your own resources what franchises give to their franchisees to be successful fast. When you go and buy a smoothie shop and invest in a franchise, generally speaking, I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen it where they say, buy my franchise or buy in, right? And it's like 100 grand, right? You got to have 100K just to get into the game. Have you seen that? You've probably not invested very much into starting this painting business in comparison. Would you agree with that?
No, definitely not 100 grand.
Right. At some point, we need to dig down and we need to throw some money in this thing. And that could also mean putting money into yourself. Coaching is an investment in your own knowledge, your own abilities. So when you tell me a scenario where you were struggling going into people who don't know you, this is the game that you signed up for in the painting business when you start marketing, is they don't know you. Not only do they have to get to know you, they have to like you and trust you enough to work inside their most intimate space, their home. I think off the bat, you come across as trustworthy. I don't think that's going to be an issue. You build a good relationship. You said you pet the dog. You have a good awareness of how to get people to trust you. But the thing is, there's this other element of building value. So you have to check the box if I trust you. Okay, good. The next box that you need to check, and this should be the only focus of you as a business owner, is will you pay more for me than the other painting contractor and why? When you see Corey and you see her team and you have two people competing against the same trying to win the same customer, Corey's team packs a punch, dude. And they have the images, they have the the swag, they have the culture, they have the heart, all that, compared to someone else trying to paint cabinets. There's value there. Same paint, same cabinets. The experience is different. That's the key. And how you make that experience for your painting business makes all the difference. Start small. It's a lot, but you need a coach. You need a software. You need a marketing agency. Those three things you are going to wind up getting. Is it going to be in 15 years or is it going to be within the next 30 days? That's the difference. How soon you can iterate, make changes. And that's what I got for you, brother. I hope this was helpful. We went a lot. We went far and wide. But, you know, I'd love to hear back from you, man. I hope you come back sometime. We could talk about next steps.
Sounds good. I appreciate this. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Hold on. I'm going to go ahead and shut this. Thanks, brother.